Hosanna to our God in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Dear fellow believers in Christ, every person in every culture of every time has asked the same basic big questions of life. Questions such as, how did I get here? What's the meaning of life? What's my purpose in life? And what happens to me when I die? All right, we're just going to cut the microphone off. That's going to keep happening. But they ask the same basic big questions in life. But this morning, I have a question for you that is bigger than all of those. And the answer to this question helps us to answer all of the other big questions of life. Here's my question. Who is Jesus? You know, maybe when you think of Jesus, you think of him as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we saw in our gospel reading that he doesn't appear like the King of Kings. He doesn't go into Jerusalem riding a glorious white stallion. He goes into Jerusalem riding a lowly, humble donkey. And maybe that's how you view Jesus, as the servant, the one who did not come to be served, but to serve. But yet, we heard from Zechariah that he truly is the King of Kings. He will rule over all creation. It almost seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? But Paul makes it simple for us to understand who Jesus really is. Jesus is the God-man. He humbled himself for a time. He is exalted forever. But before we take a closer look at these verses from Paul, allow me to read two verses before our reading this morning. There Paul wrote, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Paul tells us to be humble, to consider others better than ourselves. Sounds easy, right? Not at all. Even if this were the only commandment that God has given to us to obey, we still couldn't do it. Because even in this day and age, remaining humble and considering others better than yourself is considered a weakness. Whereas being proud and arrogant, demanding praise from others, the world views that as power. They view that as strength. We even live in a day and age that has been nicknamed the me first generation. It's all about what I want. It's all about how fast I can get it. And the idea of sharing praise with others is completely ridiculous to us. Because we want all the glory. We want people to realize that I'm the one that helped out the team. I'm the one that had that great idea that worked. I'm the one that helped everyone out. It's like we are addicted to receiving praise, to puff ourselves up. We cannot be humble, truly humble. And the thing is, Paul knew that. Paul knew that by nature, you could not always be humble in your life. Well, if that's true, then why did Paul tell us to have our attitude be the same as Christ Jesus, since we cannot be humble? Well, the reason that we can be humble is because Christ gives us his humility in our own lives. for Christ humbled himself for a time. Listen again to what Paul wrote. Being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Nowhere in all the world will you find poetry as beautiful as this. And what Paul is talking about here is what we call Christ's humiliation. And there are some things we need to understand about his humiliation. Remember that Jesus is true God. He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving. He loved us so much that when he created us, he made us the crown of his creation. But when the crown of his creation fell into sin, he desired to save us. And the only way he could save us was being like one of us, taking on the human nature. But when Christ took on the human nature, it's not like he stopped being true God. He was 100% God. That is why he was able to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to read the hearts and the minds of people. But when he also took on the human nature, he took on the form of a servant. I mean, just think about what we're going to confess in the Apostles' Creed later on. There we will be told that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. The Almighty God became a helpless little child, dependent on his parents to take care of him. That's what Paul means when he says he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Here you see how Jesus humbled himself. I mean, picture, if you will, that you had superpowers. Powers such as flight, or that you could travel at the speed of light. If you had those powers, would you still be using your car to travel around town? Probably not. But as true God, Jesus had all his divine powers, but he did not make full and constant use of those divine powers. Sure, he would use his powers to help those who were in need, but that was not his mission. Even before King Herod, on Good Friday morning, when Herod wanted Jesus to perform miracles before him, Jesus did not do it. He didn't do it to receive praise from people. Instead, his mission was to remain humble. And how far did Jesus humble himself? He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The cross was the ultimate form of suffering. It was a long and agonizing death that could last up to days until a person eventually suffocates. But not only was the cross the ultimate form of suffering, it was also the ultimate form of humiliation. For when Christ was on that cross, people hurled insults at him. They said he could save others, but he can't save himself. Come down from the cross, Jesus, if you are the Christ. Then we will believe in you. They mocked him. He didn't even have any decency in his death. And not only is the cross the ultimate form of suffering and also the ultimate form of humiliation, it was also the ultimate form of condemnation. For Scripture tells us, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. See, to the Jewish people, they could look at anyone hanging on a tree and say, look, that man is cursed. That man is cursed by God himself. And that applied to Christ as well. He was under God's curse, under God's condemnation for our sins. That's how far Christ humbled himself, even to death on a cross. But thanks be to God that the story does not end there. For Jesus rose from the grave, and Paul tells us, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. This is what we call Christ's exaltation. Christ is now exalted forever. But just like with his humiliation, there are things that we need to understand about Christ's exaltation. According to his divine nature, Jesus could not be exalted, for God is above all things. But according to his human nature, Christ, the God-man, was exalted. And now Christ is making full and constant use of his powers. Christ rules over all things. That's why Paul tells us that every knee will bow down to Christ and every tongue will confess him as Lord. But do you see that now? Does every knee in this world bow down to Christ and confess that he is Lord? No. But it will happen. On Judgment Day, when Christ comes with all of his divine glory, even the unbelievers, even the people who plotted to kill Jesus, even those who mocked him on the cross, will have to bow down and confess, Jesus, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. They will be without excuse. They will have to confess him. But what about you and me? If Judgment Day happened this morning, would we be forced to bow down and worship God, to confess him as Lord? That's what should happen. Because how does Christ's exaltation bring us any comfort? How does it save us at all? Well, if Jesus were only true God when he did everything that he did, it would bring us no comfort. If anything, it would only bring more shame on us that we cannot remain humble. But remember that Jesus is the God-man. He became human just like you and me, which means he lived a perfect life as a human. He died on the cross as a human, and he rose from the grave as a human. He has won salvation for all mankind. And that salvation he freely offers to each and every person. And you have received that salvation. Because here's the really interesting thing to notice. That name that Jesus has, that name that is above every name, that name has been placed on you. You receive that at your baptism. Remember that when the pastor poured water on your head, connected with the word, he said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And now think about how our services end. At the end of our service, you hear the words, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. But do you know why we end our services in that way? Well, when God told Moses and Aaron to first speak these words to the people, he said this would happen. They will put my name on them, and I will bless them. You see, at the end of the service, you receive the Lord's name. His name is placed on you, which means when you leave these church doors, you leave with Christ's name imprinted on you. And now you get to proclaim Christ gladly to others. And it doesn't matter what your calling in life is. You can proclaim Christ as a co-worker, proclaim Christ as a stay-at-home mom or a parent who shares Christ with their children, or simply just being a Christian friend helping someone in their time of need. And there's no greater joy than sharing Christ with someone, because it can either encourage them in their faith or possibly bring someone else to faith so that they will gladly bow their knees and confess that Jesus is Lord. And so on Judgment Day, the unbelievers will have to confess, but we will gladly bow our knees and confess that Jesus is our Savior, that He is the God-man. And knowing this about Jesus answers all the big questions in life. You know that question, how did I get here? Well, we are here because Christ created us to be the crown of His creation. When we fell into sin, He came and humbled Himself to save us. So what is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, what is my purpose in life? My purpose in life is now to remain humble, to give God glory in all that I do, and to confess His name before others. And now what happens to me when I die? Through faith in Christ, we live with Jesus forever. And that's the day we look forward to, because right now we live in this world of suffering just like Christ had to endure. We also have to carry our crosses for Him. But one day, those sufferings will turn to rejoicing. That cross that we carry will turn to a crown of righteousness that Jesus will place on our heads. It's no wonder that all praise, thanks, honor, and glory belong to Christ. He is the God-man who humbled Himself to finish the task which He began, which was our salvation. Thanks be to Christ. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Please rise.